This is Linebreak, where we deconstruct poetry written by young writers and discuss the inspiration and intention behind their poems. Take a pause and enjoy the line breaks. Here's episode 24, where I talk with Elusive Purple Panda about her poem Sonnet to Concrete. I hope you enjoy.
My username on Young Writers Project is Elusive Purple Panda, and my poem is called Sonnet to Concrete. What comes after winter's fearful whip? Tell, what gives sway to summer-scented sage? To what gives imagination's muses blush? The forests bloom green, the bees nectar rush. What book can tell? Aye, what poet can say? My naked toes pressed on what earth has sung, burning from the warmth on which sun has hung her shooting fires to make human pyres. 'Tis not the thrush nor the greenery that gives summer sway. 'Tis the flat concrete stair, mirroring earth's light, book pages that glare soft white, too harsh for mine own squinting eyes.
Yay, thank you so much. What was your inspiration for this?
It was like beginning of spring or like going into summer. And it was a really beautiful day outside. It was super sunny. And I had to do reading English homework, which was Grapes of Wrath. And I was like, what if I spiced it up and read it outside? At the front of my house, there is concrete steps. So I was sitting on that and I was barefoot and it was just so warm. And I was thinking about how I could never do this in winter. And I was just like, this is it. This is the feeling.
That's so cool. So your title is Sonnet to Concrete. And how does this tie into the rest of your poem? And what made you decide on it as a title?
For the title, I would say it's nothing like too excessively fancy because it is a sonnet, obviously. First sonnet I've ever tried to write. But yeah, just simply it's a sonnet and it's about concrete, tying into the concrete stair that is burning my feet.
So what was the first line you thought of and how did you work from there?
I think probably my naked toes pressed on what earth has sung or some variation of that, because that was the initial sensation of what I was trying to channel. And that was, yeah, that was about the feeling that I wanted to go for. And then as I was writing it, I was kind of realizing that since, like I said, this is the first sonnet I've ever tried to write, like it's a lot like writing them is a lot like solving a puzzle. So I had all these like kind of different ideas, like in terms of pushing stuff around and getting the sensation.
That's great. And what line, this might be the same line that you came up with actually, but what line felt like the turning point or like you had finally captured what you had been imagining?
I would probably say the last line, mostly because the other like sensation that was really coming through when I was trying to think about what reading on a hot concrete stair, the part about the pages glaring is just, you know, you might be outside reading on a sunny day and you might not necessarily need sunglasses that day, but reading while it's sunny out is, you need sunglasses, I don't know. But it was just the pages being super bright and like having this kind of very almost silly ending that just I feel like brought it together for me.
There are tons of amazing lines in here and I really like your Shakespearean tone. Do you often use a formal tone and old language, or does it change depending on the poem and what you're trying to write about?
Ooh, funny you say that. I'm actually part of another reading group, and we recently, as a prompt, wrote a poem, and I'd say it kind of had like a very similar like Shakespearean type diction, and I was told that was very me-esque of like what I write. So I'd say, yeah, I do end up reading a lot of Shakespearean poetry, and romantic poetry particularly is one of my favorites. So I think that tends, because that's what I mainly read, that's generally the tone I take on when I write, and I also like just the drama of it and the theatricality that comes with using a more formal language.
And who are some of your favorite poets and authors? And this is a related question. What books and poems do you think have kind of shaped you as a writer and as a human being? Which is a lot to think about.
Ooh, yeah. In terms of favorite poets, John Keats, hands down. I will say I am what you would call a baby poet reader, because I haven't read too terribly much, but I'd say John Keats was like my entry point into poetry, and like I was introduced to him through the movie Bright Star, and I really liked that, and from there I started reading a lot of his poetry, and I just ended up falling in love with him and the romantics, and just I love all of that. And in terms of just poems and stories that have shaped my writing, I can't think of any particular authors besides what I mentioned, like besides like Keatsian poetry or romantic poetry. But I would probably say that I primarily write historical fiction, because I usually write more narrative pieces. So I'd say a lot of just stories about history and historical people in general really tend to shape like what I want to write about and how I can subvert expectations of what you think this is going to be about, or what, and being able to connect that into modern day and modern terms to make the past feel accessible.
That's really amazing. And it reminds me of Shakespeare. I was going to say that I think Shakespeare is so timeless, and everyone says it, and I really believe it, because think about Romeo and Juliet. Star-crossed lovers, some outside force doesn't want them to be together. Somehow they either sacrifice something or they don't end up together. That can be applied to any relationship. I swear.
It really can. Yeah.
Any kind of relationship, you can apply that to it, where there's some outside force that doesn't want two people to be together. And so I think that's one of the reasons why Romeo and Juliet is so popular and why it comes up so much in pop culture. Like, I did this thing for English once. It was an assignment where I was comparing, like, 90s rom-coms to, like, Shakespearean plays and stuff
like
that.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
It was so cool. Like, I was comparing She's All That to My Fair Lady.
Okay.
It is the same concept. It's really interesting. I'm not going to get into it because I'll get very smart and pretentious sounding. But it was so cool. And I think that it's definitely true that, like, these stories from, I don't know, 500, 300 years ago are still so relevant in this time. I mean, like certain details about being, I don't know, a pig farmer or something might not be the same.
Yeah.
But like the emotions are the same and the whole like moral is the same, which is why I think that like, that's why it's still important to write about that kind of thing and not say, oh, Shakespeare is so 1500s or 1600s, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's great that you're still getting inspired by that and really like investing your writing into that kind of area and time.
Thank you.
Yes.
And I'd love to read your essay about Shakespeare and modern rom-com someday. I bet that's really great.
Yeah, like 10 Things I Hate About You. Oh, that's a really good one. That's based on the Shakespeare sonnet, I think. I'm pretty sure. So while you were talking about that, it reminded me of Dead Poets Society. Have you seen it?
Yes, I have.
What do you think of it? Because I feel like it's something you might like.
I watched it, and here's the thing. I thought, don't come for me, I thought it was just okay. Like, I mean, I have, like, a couple of my, like, complaints is, like, lack of diversity, because, like, not even the extras. There's no people of color, not even the extras. Also, I had a hard time buying that a bunch of heterosexual white boys are going to want to go into the forest and read poetry to each other.
Yeah.
and also, just, I respect the film. I liked it, but Not my favorite, but I did enjoy it.
Yeah, I would agree with all of that. I think it's more just like the whole vibe of it that I like, or like dark academia
Oh
aesthetic.
my gosh, I
Because
spent so
I'm new to it. I just found out about it and I was like, wait, I think that's my aesthetic. And I always cringe when people say like, oh, that's so aesthetic or whatever, because it's like, ooh. But no, seriously, I feel like this is how I dress and this is how I live and this is what I like, where I wear like a bunch of plaid and sweaters. And I read poetry, I read books, I drink coffee, and it's like, it's so me.
Oh yeah, I definitely agree. I have spent many an hour on Dark Academia Instagram because just, oh my God, it's so awesome. And I've actually Dark Academia Instagram, to its credit, has gotten me to read Oscar Wilde. So there you go.
Wow, they're actually doing something. Oh my gosh, so I got down in a rabbit hole. I was looking at different dark academia clothes and outfit ideas, and I found French light academia and like subsections of that. It's like, how many times can you break up an aesthetic? Why can't
Oh
you
my
just say
gosh.
that? It's like plaid and sweaters.
It's like with cottagecore, where like so many like different things were born out of it, like fairy core and like
Oh my
something
gosh.
like fairy tale core
Elf
or
core? I feel like at some point it's just like cosplaying. But okay. Like, how many times can you dress up as an elf before it's like a costume? I'm not sure about that. But I mean, I feel like with all of these aesthetics and like dark academia, cottage core, and girly aesthetic and all of these other things. I mean, it's just a different form of expression. So go those people for expressing themselves in
I
different ways.
agree. Fashion is an art form.
Yes, exactly. And it's so cool how you can connect like certain books and like lifestyles really to these aesthetics, where like the whole dark academia thing is like reading books and writing poetry and being moody and dramatic and like some English castle or Oxford University or something. It's interesting how there's like a whole lifestyle attached to it. But yeah, I think it's cool to read more about aesthetics and like subsections and how people are really just like trying to define who they are in some way, which is really just writing at its core. And see, this is interesting how I'm circling this all back. But defining yourself in some way is really writing, because whether you're writing about yourself or not, you're still trying to find out who you are in a way. So, writing is a form of self-discovery.
I would totally agree with that. Yeah, I would just say that some of my older poetry, especially middle school poetry, which is makes a lot of us shudder, I think. I definitely agree that poetry was one of the first ways I was able to express a lot of that teenage angst, if you will, and just it's like one of those outlets I turn to whenever I'm feeling something that's very intense. If I feel like I can't just express that with like maybe a moody diary entry, I don't know. It's like I feel like poetry in itself is like all that humanity is abstract and concrete in words. And that's part of what I love so much about it.
And how did you first become interested in writing and poetry in particular?
Writing, I would say I, this is gonna sound kind of pretentious, I don't know, but I've always kind of been very interested in storytelling from when I was very little. But I didn't start really writing stories until I was maybe about 12 or so, and I've kept writing since then. And poetry, I'd say, I can't really exactly nail when I like got really interested in it, but I'd say I started really writing it in middle school. And just going on from there, and I've kind of been more infrequent with how often I've written poetry. I really want to do more of it. And in terms of reading poetry, I'd only say I really started to seriously like look into poetic craft and poetic structure and just all that different types of authors and stuff like that in the last two or three years, really.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was the same kind of timeline for me, too. I think that a lot of middle schoolers are really getting into poetry now, which is great, because I think that for a while, poetry was seen as, like, something that only old men can do, or something that only moody teenage girls can do, you know, if they have a lot of eyeliner and stuff, slam their doors and listen to heavy metal music and write poetry. But definitely. I mean, I think it's, you know, more universal now, and a lot more people are seeing it as, like, not such a weird thing, you know. Now it's kind of cool to write poetry, and it's cool to go to open mics and be on podcasts and share your writing and all that. I think that open mics are so great. And as I say in literally every podcast episode, I think open mics are such a great way to become more comfortable with your writing. So often we just, like, write poems and maybe you post it on a website or you keep it in your notebook and that's that. That's the end of it. You know, you don't always, like, read it out loud to other people and, like, see their response to it. And maybe after you read, someone will say, oh, I really, you know, related to that, or that really touched a part of my heart or something. So I think that's what's so magical about open mics, and that's why it's special and important to go to them. So,
yeah.
There's that. And, oh, back to your poem.
Yes.
I like the repeating reference of books and pages throughout, and did that idea come from when you were physically reading your book? And actually, I was also wondering, while you were reading the book outside, did you write down parts of the poem, or did that come later?
That came later, I think. I was outside when I wrote the poem on the same place, so I could still barefoot. So I could just get back into how I was feeling and the sensation of burning feet on a concrete stair. I would say that the books and pages, yeah, relating just back to reading outside. And then any other kind of reference, I guess I didn't even notice this, the book references, but yeah, I'd say that at most, that mostly just has to do with sort of setting the mood, in the setting of reading outside.
Very nice. And I also wanted to mention that this poem was published in the Burlington Free Press October 9th. Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's always so nice to see your poetry in print and to, like, physically have a copy of it.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. Yeah. What poems of yours have gotten published in the Burlington Free Press?
Oh, gosh, lots. It's been so cool. Some of my neighbors get the free press, and so they'll write to my mom and say, oh, I read Iris's poetry in the newspaper today. We're so proud of her. She's such a young poet. And we follow her poetry. It's the sweetest thing ever.
I know. That's so awesome.
But in a way, it's kind of weird, too, because I was talking to, I don't know who it was. I was talking to someone else, and they're like, oh, I read your poem in the Free Press. And I was like, oh, really? Because I didn't know them that well. And they were like, yeah, I recognize your name from there. I was like, oh, thank you. Like I said, it's always so special to see it in person, like, with the anthology, too. That was so interesting and so fun, too, because it was like, I'm in a book! Ah.
Exactly. It is a very thrilling feeling, especially at the end, just to see your name. I don't know. There's, like, certain satisfaction that comes with, like, seeing, like, I wrote this.
Then I get a little bit, like, kind of power hunger, I guess. Like, I want to do more. I want more publications.
Yeah, I have to agree with that, definitely.
So, again, back to your poem, a few more questions. What lasting meaning do you like to take away? And what lasting meaning should other people take away? Or is it open for interpretation?
Ooh, I would say all of my poetry, no matter, I guess, how straightforward or how open it is up for interpretation. But I'd say this one has a very direct interpretation when I read it personally. And that is, I kind of intended this just to kind of be a silly kind of poem about burning your toes. I'd like to hear what other people think about it though, 'cause I just kind of intended this to be sort of silly.
That's great. I think that sometimes it's good to just have a silly poem every once in a while, not something that's so like heavy with meaning and stuff. So, what do you think that your writing style is, and how did you find it?
That's a good question. I can't tell you exactly how I found my writing style because I feel like it's all been very gradual over time. And I always feel like my writing style slightly changes depending on what book I'm reading at that point. I'd say I'm always kind of just trying to find it and like just I feel like I've always had a very strong, I'm not trying to brag, but I feel like I've always had like this very strong sense of voice and I've just kind of always gone with it no matter the mood or feeling and just built on it.
I think that some people can have definitely said that they've always known their voice, or they've always kind of, they've never been like, oh, how do I write? Which is great. I think that it's really amazing when you know like how you want to write and how you want to tell stories. And do you write fiction? Actually, no, I think you did say that you write fiction, but do you experiment with other forms of writing like fiction, short stories, and
Oh
nonfiction?
yeah, definitely. That's one of my child things I'm trying to challenge myself to do this year is just to write in a bunch of different genres in a bunch of different ways and just really play around with the different ways, like the different my interests, just how just really have fun with writing in terms of like exploring my strengths and weaknesses as a storyteller and a writer.
That's really, really great. I've always wanted to do something like that, and I feel like I start a project like that and then I just kind of give up on it after I get it. But are you going to do NaNoWriMo?
No. I kind of did a version of NaNoWriMo over the summer because the writing club I belong to did the summer camp version of it, which is still the same idea, but you set the word count, so it doesn't have to be 50,000 words and it doesn't have to be a novel, it can be anything, you just have to finish it that month. But NaNoWriMo is maybe something I would consider doing in the future. Right now I'm kind of busy with school and I don't feel like I would have the time to properly dedicate to NaNoWriMo, so yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I've always wanted to, but I feel like I would just forget about it and I wouldn't have time for it. I'm going to have a long winter break for once. I get a whole month off before my second semester starts. So I'm really excited and I'm hoping that during that month off that I have, I can do some more writing and maybe that'll be my NaNoWriMo.
What kind of writing do you do?
Oh, well, I've really been trying to do some more fiction, but I feel like I get really good ideas and I get super immersed in this like world and these characters, and then after like a week I'm like, eh, I don't like it. So I'm trying to stay more committed to it and to really like fully figure out how I want to write and stuff, because as much as I do like poetry, I want to expand and, you know, do what you do and like explore my voice and how I can tell stories and really like what I want my writing to become. So there's that. And how did you discover YWP and what role does it play in your life?
So 7th grade, I think, our English teacher offered it up as just something you could do, maybe for extra credit or fun. And I was like, you know what? Why not? And I've been writing on here, yeah, since 7th grade. And in terms of what this web, how this website plays into my life, I would say I mostly just publish poetry on here, so I try when I come on here to try to top myself, I guess, and like write the next best piece that I've ever written, or just really I like coming on here for Young Writers Projects programs because I've just had so much fun in the couple I've been to, and I really want to use this site more to meet other writers like yourself and that are just excellent, lovely people. And I just love to meet more young creatives and just learn from other writers, just expanding my craft, meeting other people, and learning from others. Yeah.
That's really great. I think that definitely a big thing that motivates me to continue writing is meeting other people who write and listening to what they've written. And the podcast is such a great way, and it's so fun for me to listen back and like hear what we said and stuff.
Yeah.
So it'll definitely be fun for you to listen back to hear what you said.
Yeah.
You know, it's been so cool to make, oh gosh, I don't know, 24 episodes of the podcast. It's so crazy. I've done so many of these.
Do you ever find yourself running out of words or questions to say? Because I feel like that's such a big problem for me.
Very often. Most of the time I just start going on a rant about something really weird and random. Usually I edit that out. Actually, my friend asked me if I was going to do a bloopers episode ever. And I was saying, no, it would just be me saying, is it recording? Okay, I think it's recording. Just over and over again.
I would honestly listen to that. I would love to hear you rant. I've only known you for a brief time, Iris, but I would love to hear you go on a rant about a niche interest for like an hour and get super passionate about it.
I think that that's maybe like what I'm going to do in life. I'll just rant about weird things.
Because exactly.
There are so many weird things that I'm interested in that I could go on and on about. And I just, sometimes I have to contain myself from not going on and on about it.
Ooh. What are some of those?
Oh, well, I've been trying to not mention this because I know it's weird and it creeps people out, but I read this book for biology a few years ago, and it was about cadavers and like what happens to them and stuff, and it was fascinating, actually. I'm not a morbid person, but it was really interesting, and they were talking about like this place in Tennessee. Ooh. It's very weird and very odd, and I always think about it, and I always try to not mention it because I know it creeps people out, and it creeps my mom out so much. She's always like, oh, stop it.
I like hearing about it, but here's the thing. I can't handle rotting things. Like, I can't do it. So kudos to you. I know a lot of people, actually, who are very interested in
it's not
stuff
really,
like that.
It's not really that part for me, though. It's just, like, the weirdness that, like, this is a place in the world.
Strange places tend to fascinate you?
Yeah, definitely. Like, places where there's just weird stuff going on. And, oh, speaking of this, there's a place in New Zealand where, apparently, I saw this in a YouTube video, you can't always trust what you see on YouTube.
Of course.
As we know from all these celebrities apologizing. I saw a TikTok and it was about like every YouTuber's apology. And this girl was like, okay, this is a different video. As you can see, I'm not in my set. I'm in my house. It was so true.
It's always like the no makeup sweats. Like, yeah, that makes it more sincere.
In some way, having no makeup on makes you like apologetic. But anyway, there's a place in New Zealand where people walk on all fours, and I thought that was really weird.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so all these things interest me, and I would bring them up, but then I remember, oh, wait, this is a podcast about poetry, not a podcast about weird things that I'm interested in. So I'll put that aside. But thank you for asking me, because now I feel like I finally got to talk about it.
Of course.
But speaking of books in some way, I'm reading a book, this all circles back to Shakespeare, that my neighbor lent me about, it's a retelling of The Tempest by Margaret Atwood, who wrote The Handmaid's Tale, actually.
Yeah.
And it's really good. It's really interesting. And I haven't finished it yet. I think I still have a couple of chapters left, but it's so cool how like you can draw parallels between the play that they're putting on in the book and the man who's like the narrator and stuff. Very
Hmm.
interesting.
Yeah. What's it called again?
It's Hag Seed.
Hag Seed.
Yes.
Okay, I'm gonna put that on my list. I do want to read The Tempest later this year, so that's I'll probably hit up the original and then the next one.
I really haven't been reading a lot lately, which is so weird because I used to read, like, I don't know, a book a day for a while in middle school.
Oh,
And
wow.
now I just haven't been reading as much, which is weird because I still have as much time as I did back then. I'm not that much more busy, but for some reason I just haven't been that into reading, which makes me sad because I want to still like have all these words. So maybe it's time for me to take a trip to the library. But the problem with the library though, and I don't know if you've had this problem or not, but I think I've read just about every single book that they have.
Ooh, I don't have that problem. Usually, I do read a lot, but usually, I'd say I go back and forth between my local library and my school library. And I also, I'm reading Frankenstein right now, which my dad owns, so I've just been reading that. So stuff I recently started buying a couple of ebook copies only because there are like a couple specific titles that I was looking for. So, yeah.
Yes, I tried reading Frankenstein, but I didn't really like it. It was so weird.
It's very dramatic. I can
Yeah.
understand that. It's very melodramatic.
I feel like I haven't read that many classic books, like not a lot of classic literature.
Yeah, I'm trying to start to read more of it. And also, as I mentioned before, I like the romantics, and obviously, Mary Shelley is a romantic. She might not be a poet, but she was a writer, and I really like her. So I want to try reading Frankenstein. I'm very used to, like you said, I'm used to reading more contemporary fiction. So I'd like to, I just, reading classic literature for me is more of a way to explore just other types of books, stuff like that.
Yeah, I think it's really good to not stay limited to the same genre and the same like era of writing and to kind of explore beyond that. So I'm going to try to do that too. I'm trying to think of what like classics that I've read. What were some of your favorites?
I'm still very new to classic literature, but recently I read The Picture of Dorian Gray, which I really
Oh,
liked.
yeah. I read that for my book club. I have to admit, it was a little bit slow. I didn't really fully understand all of it, but I did think it was interesting.
Yes, Picture of Dorian Gray I read recently. I'm reading Frankenstein. Like I mentioned before, I've read some classic poetry. But besides that, not much. Because I feel like for a long time, from middle school onward, I've been mostly reading historical fiction, and that was kind of what my main reading diet consisted of. So I'm trying to really mix it up now and add more variety. But yeah, do you have any good book recommendations?
Oh gosh, I have so many. Actually, this would be good for you to listen to. I did the 20th podcast, part two. I talked about a bunch of poems and books that I like. But to review, some are like The Book Thief. I really love that one.
Ooh, I've heard good
And
stuff about it.
The Outsiders I read, which is really cool actually, how like I feel like it's like never ending because the first paragraph is the same as the last paragraph. So you could just keep rereading and rereading and rereading and it would never end, which is really cool. Agatha Christie, I really love, and I
Ooh.
feel like that's really like the oldest author that I've really read because I feel bad because I've only gone back like 80 years and I could go back even further. And just a lot of contemporary fiction really. But The Secret Garden I love. That's one of my favorites.
Ooh, yeah. And I'd say in terms like going back no less than 80 years, it's whatever, honestly. I mean, like we said at the beginning, it's a lot of old white guys who are very pretentious, and use too many words.
Yeah, right. And the language is just kind of formal. And I feel like whenever I read a book from the early 1900s, I feel like it's just so formal and so stuffy. And it doesn't really get me motivated to write, which is why I tend to go for more contemporary literature.
Yeah, that's totally valid.
Thank you. Well, I think that's all of my questions. And thank you so much for being on the podcast. I'm so glad that we get to talk about your poem and writing and all these other cool writing things. This has been episode 24 of Linebreak. I hope you enjoyed and stay tuned for episode 25. Bye.